the Psalm 46 and the verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. There is a river. So saith the Holy Ghost. There is a river. There are the waters that trouble us, referred to in this psalm. You'll see that in verse 2. We're reading there about mountains, the possibility of mountains being carried into the midst of the sea. And then the waters thereof, the waters of that troublesome ocean roaring and being troubled, and the mountains shaking with the swelling of these rising troublesome waters. Perhaps that's the situation you're in tonight. There are troubled waters all around you. There is the swelling of the ocean coming around you. You feel the swelling of the ocean. There has been the mighty disturbance in your life. Yes, there are the waters that will trouble us, child of God. Those noisome, uncertain waters. Those unpredictable waters all around about us. But there is not only the waters that trouble us. There is also the river that gladdens us. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The river bursts upon our text here in verse 4. It is the first word. There is, or in italics. There is no verb to be here. Our translators have supplied those words. The first word is river. It bursts upon the text. It stands out. River. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. This river is a solitary river. There is only one such river. Only one. It stands alone. This river is frequently referred to in Scripture. Psalm 36, verse 8. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. In Psalm 1, the blessed man is a man who has established his roots by the river. We read in Jeremiah chapter 17, that portion of Scripture that we read. We read there that the man who trusts in the Lord, verse 8, is a man who spreadeth out her roots by the river. This solitary river, this singular river, this river that is pure and crystal, flowing from the throne of God and which gladdens the city of God, is but one. This river, lest you misunderstand what it pictures, this river is God Himself. God Himself giving Himself to us in grace. God Himself flowing to us in all His loving kindness. God Himself coming and bringing in His wake all heavenly blessings. It is God Himself who is this river. He is this only river that gladdens us, the people of God. It is the Lord. You see that in verse 5. First word of verse 4 is river. The first word of verse 5 is God. This river is God Himself. There is a river which the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. God is this river flowing through the center of the city of God. God is this river around which all the citizens of this city gather themselves to make use of this wonderful river, God Himself. And of course, this river is particularly the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it was He that came into the world. It is He that brings to us all the fountain of grace. It is Christ that comes among men. This river is Jesus. And so we want to consider Christ tonight under the image of a river, the river that gladdens our hearts. The picture is one of a large city, of course, and a large river flowing through the midst of it, and perhaps round about it as well, giving protection, and going through the midst, providing nourishment and sustenance and refreshment. A river supplying very many refreshing channels in every direction, because the streams of this river going in all directions make glad the city of God. It is a broad river. It is a free flowing river. It is an abundant water. In what respects then is Christ a river to our hearts? The Lord Jesus Christ is compared to a river because of the fullness that is in Him. The Lord Jesus is not a dehydrated creature. A creature is not a river. A creature needs a river. And the Lord Jesus is not a dehydrated creature, Lord, such as the Jehovah Witnesses have. But the Lord Jesus is the glorious Jehovah, in whom all fullness dwells. The Lord Jesus is this Jehovah, who is this river. We read there in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 33. In verse 21, but there, this glorious city of Zion again, there, verse 21, the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. That's a parallel passage in this text. It's Jehovah who is this river. It's the glorious Jehovah who is this river. And who is the glorified and glorious Lord? It is our Christ. It is our Saviour. He has no higher glory than He enjoys tonight. Sit thou at my right hand. I'll make all creatures thy footstool. Sit there. Thou shalt rule the nations with a rod of iron. It is the glorified Christ, our Saviour, that is this river. There is a fullness in Christ, as a river ever flows and never empties itself. So Christ ever gives out. He ever flows, but is never emptied, and is nonetheless in His grace. He's a fullness in Himself. You know, a river flows for centuries, never empties, and Christ timelessly flows, but is always the same fullness. He's never any the less empty, even though He has endlessly flowed down through the centuries. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, just as a river is. Men around the river come and go. Cities around the river change their landscape. But the river is still the same, ever flowing in its fullness. And Christ, in Christ, is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not an emptying Christ, nor is He a filling Christ. He is not a changing Christ. He is the Christ always in whom all fullness dwells. And of His fullness have all we received. And we that are saved have drank continually of that fullness. And there's no less fullness in Jesus with all our drinking and with all our partaking of Him. There is a fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a river because of that. Many streams flow from this river. There's a fullness of His wisdom. There's a fullness of His righteousness. There's a fullness of His power. There's a fullness of His love and mercy. There's a fullness of His payment of our sinful debt. All these streams coming out from Christ, the river that gladdens our hearts. Christ satisfies. None but Christ, we sang tonight, can satisfy. He's this river. He is satisfying to us. Only Christ can satisfy you, sinner.
And only Christ will satisfy you, child of God. Oh, you have leaned upon earthly comforts. You have tried to drink out of comforts and find satisfaction in them. The Lord has taken those comforts away to remind you there's only one river. Only one that you can drink from. Only one who never changes. Only one who is still the same. Only one who will ever satisfy you. It's Christ. He satisfies us. He makes us glad. There's enough in him for you too, sinner. You've never drunk off the fullness of Jesus. You're drinking at some poor, dirty puddle. That's what you're doing. And you're ignoring this pure crystal river. You're very foolish.
None but Christ. None but Christ can satisfy.
So he's a river because of his fullness. But then he's a river also because of his purity. This river the Bible calls a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. And it's coming out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. He's coming himself in grace from his throne. He's coming himself among men in all his fullness. And as he comes pure as crystal. He's holy, harmless, and undefiled. There is no muddying of the waters of Jesus. Yes, he touches the leper, but he is not contaminated by the leper. He is pure, unchangeably pure. Oh, I know we have many rivers. Very few are pure as crystal. None are. But Jesus is. There is a purity about Christ. He touches the dead and is not defiled, but washes away all uncleanness. He's a river because of his purity. He's a river also because of the freeness with which he flows. You know, a river is very free, very powerful in its flowing. You can't stop a river. It all goes on and on and on. It ever runs. You don't have to get a pump to make a river flow. You don't have to design some engine to get the river somehow for the waters to flow down through the channel. You don't have to do that. Because there's a freeness in the flow of a river. It flows freely. It's not made to flow. We do nothing to cause it to flow. No, we grow up around it. We die beside it. And all the while it's flowing, we've had nothing to do with its flowing. And that's what Jesus is like. He flows freely in his grace. We don't make him flow. We don't urge him on to flow. No, he flows always. He flows freely. He freely came into the world. He freely took our nature. He freely laid down his life for us. He freely carried our sins and our sorrows. He freely died on the cross. He freely invites us in the gospel. He freely calls us to himself. He freely gives us promises. He flows always in his freeness.
He is a free-flowing river.
So there's a freeness about his flow. Freeness in his grace, in his love. We never called that love. We never merited that love. We never drew that grace down by any merit in us. No, it freely flowed. He's a river because of that. And then he's a river because of the power by which he flows. Nothing stands before a mighty river. It carries everything away. A tree falls into it. It is brought away down by the flow into the ocean. Nothing stands before a river. It carries away all into the ocean. There is no dam that can stop the flow of Jesus. There is nothing that can hinder the power of Christ. Christ carries all away. Christ carries everything away in his path. He carries sin away in his grace. And if he carries it not away in his grace, then he carries it away in the afterflows of his judgment and his wrath. He carries all away. Nothing stands before our Jesus. Everything is made subject unto him. Who can resist our Lord's will? Not one. His grace is an effectual grace. It's a powerful grace. And when it doesn't work in sinners, his wrath is an effectual wrath. Nothing stands before the river, our Christ. Sinners may resist. Sinners do resist. But they shall be overcome in the floods of his grace or in the floods of his anger. Who can resist our Saviour's will? Not one. We will be washed away by the river of the gospel or by the river of divine judgment. He says, I will pour floods upon the dry ground. And what hand is there that says, no, he won't? He is a powerful river. He does as he pleases. And he will wash away all false religion. He will wash away all atheism. He will wash away all sin. He will wash it all away into the sea of God's forgetfulness or into the ocean of hell itself. And then he's a river also because of the perpetuity of his grace. A river flows, you know, from age to age. It's always the same. Every age. It is never failing. One generation comes and another generation goes. I suppose one of the main rivers here is the River Barn. Certainly that is the case in Portadown. And you know, it hasn't changed much. I know the location of its flow has maybe moved a bit. And the Lord in his work moves from location to location. But the river is still the same, still flowing. Many generations have died around that river, but it still is the same. From generation to generation, Christ is a river that has met the needs of all that have gathered around him. One generation passes, another generation comes. It's the same Christ who meets the need. His salvation, the Bible says, is from generation to generation. It was Adam who first drank up this river himself with his wife Eve. It was Abraham, our blessed father Abraham, who drank up this river as well, who was around its banks, who was made glad by seeing Christ, the river, and we are made glad as well. He rejoiced to see this river in his day. We rejoice also. We're made glad by the same river, the same Christ. Our gladness is a brighter gladness because we have more light than Abraham. But it is the same gladness because it is gladness from the same Christ and gladness from the same river. Oh, it is a perpetually flowing river. This river even flowed into the land of Nineveh in the day of Jonah. This river even flowed beyond its normal bounds into the land of Moab just to capture Ruth. This river is a river from generation to generation, always bringing the same salvation by the same way, through faith in Christ. The perpetuity of Christ's grace is betrayed in this river. Then he is a river also because of his purifying and cleansing virtue. Christ is no standing pool. He is no puddle. He is no stagnant tank that leaves all our dirt lying at the floor. But no, he is a river who washes our dirt away into the ocean of God's forgetfulness. We do not wash in a bowl and there see our sins stirring us in our face at the bottom of the bowl. But no, Christ is a river into which we dive and our sins are washed away. He is a river from above. He is a river poured out from on high. He is a river that comes down upon us and washes our filth away, and it flows away and is gone. That's what Christ is to you, child of God. A river not just to wash us, but a river to wash away. Yes, to wash away our sins, never again to contaminate our person. That's what Christ is. He's a river to separate from us, as far as the east is from the west, all our transgressions. You know, if a tree is washed away by a river, it'll be hard pushed to find it again in the ocean. Christ is a river that far removes our sin. And that is the river that you must come to. That's the only river that's going to wash your sins away. Nothing else. If you don't get into this river, if you don't get into Christ, you'll not have your sins removed. He is a river because of the purifying virtue of His grace. He washes us and makes us glad thereby. But then He's a river also because of His openness and availability. For our Lord Jesus is not a river underground. He is not a river concealed. He is not a river hidden from the eyes of men. There are underground streams and there are underground rivers, and only very specialized persons can gain access to them, to explore them, and some even are beyond the access of any man. Jesus is not such a river. Jesus is a river above land. Jesus is a river that's wide and available and open. Jesus is a river that men can travel to and wash in. He is a river that is accessible, a river available, a river free to all. Yes, He is even a river signposted, a river signposted by the gospel, a river pointed out for us to come onto. He is pointed out as the one to wash in. You know, up the river you see some signs. Sometimes a sign would say, danger. Stay out! Danger! No swimming! No swimming in this river! I tell you, there is no such a sign at Jesus, but the sign at this river says, come, freely come, dip, swim, wash, have your sins removed. Enter into this river and be saved. Oh, there are signposts, the signposts of the gospel. Yes, there are ambassadors planted all around this river in the city of Zion, calling the citizens to come and to wash and to refresh themselves therein. He is open. He is available to you, sinner. He is not far away. You can come to Him and be saved. And then He is a river also because of the refreshing sweetness that is found in Him. The Savior is a source of gladness. Isn't that the theme that's prominent in this? The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Our Savior gladdens our hearts. Our Savior delights our soul. He is refreshing unto us. He is sweetness to our hearts. He makes us glad, and we are in the city of God, and we are citizens of Zion, because this river has drawn us in. We have come into the city of Zion just to be in the river and to be by the river. And so we who are members of the church and of the congregation are so because we build around this river. We are around Christ. We're not members of the church here for any other reason but because of our union to Jesus and our interest in the Savior. He's a river that gladdens us. His washing gladdens us. The sweetness of His grace gladdens us. The sweetness of his love gladdens us. The sweetness of thinking of his work gladdens us. Yes, Calvary, even with all the bitterness of it, it gladdens us, because there we see ever more clearly the free-flowing love and grace of our sweet Saviour. It is the river that gives much pleasure in a city, isn't it? Don't many people drink at that river to refresh themselves? At least in olden times it was so. Don't boaters have their day of gladness and rejoicing on the river? Don't swimmers go down to the bank on a warm, scorching hot day that they may refresh themselves in the river's edge and swim in its depths? Do not many men and women, the citizens of the city, find their occupation in the river, wherein they fish and catch? And so all our pleasure and all our delight is in Christ. We do our fishing in Christ. We do our drinking in Christ. We do our boating in the Saviour. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is He and the streams that flow from Him that gladden our hearts. We have Christ, the sole source of joy. A river to drink in and to swim in. There is a river. The question is He your river? Not everyone is made glad by this river. Many despise and neglect this river. Many drink out of broken cisterns. Many have their stagnant puddles in this wicked world wherein they refresh themselves foolishly. Is He your river? This river only gladdens the city of God. It doesn't gladden the city of the devil. It doesn't gladden anyone in the kingdom of darkness. It only gladdens the citizens of the heavenly kingdom, the child of God. Is it your river? If not, then come to Him. Take up your abode where this river is. Draw from this river. Drink at this river. Let this river be your center in this city. As this river flows through it, there is only one text upon it. It is this: Christ is all and in all. He's this river.